Chapter 8, and we're going to be looking at the topic of masters of the word. And I was just thinking recently about how people spend a lot of time in their lives mastering many things, you know, sports and things like that. You know, I remember someone told me, this, I'm not sure how true it is, but it's probably true. They were saying, was it Tom Watson? Yeah, Tom Watson, when he was in university, used to go and hit 1,000 golf balls a day. And became one of the best golfers ever, Tom Watson. So people spend time mastering their job, you know, like if you're going to be a glass cutter or painter or engineer or whatever, you spend time mastering your profession. Music is a good example. How many times a day do you have to practice to be a good piano player or violinist or anything like that? I think we all understand that people spend a lot of time mastering their skills. And I was just thinking about, you know, those of us who believe God and His Word, we ought to be striving or at least aiming to become masters of the Word. It's what we hold more dear than anything else. And why wouldn't we be interested in learning to be masters of the Word? And I was just going to look at a few records that are related to that. Nehemiah chapter 8, as you'll remember, the book of Nehemiah really comes before the book of Ezra in chronological order, because Nehemiah went with the Israelites and rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, and then Ezra was involved in rebuilding the temple and so forth. So they're in reverse order. But near the end, when they had rebuilt the walls, in chapter 8, verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. That's a long time. Before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for this purpose. And there was a bunch of the gentlemen with him. Verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. You know, that's respect for the word of God. When he opened the book, they all stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, verse 6, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Joshua and Bani and these gentlemen and the Levites caused the people to understand the law. These people, so there was, you know, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, these gentlemen here, and the Levites. So they obviously had some understanding of the law if they were going to help the other people understand it. They caused them to understand the reading. They had spent some time in their lives to understand what it meant. Now they were able to explain it to these other people. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, they explained it, and caused them to understand the reading. See, again, if they could do that, that means they themselves had spent time understanding it. And then they were able to give the sense of it and distinctly teach the people. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, verse 9, the scribe and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not nor weep. So they were crying, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They cried. They had forgotten it. They hadn't had anybody teach them. And when they were taught the word of God, they cried, which is very interesting. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth. Why? Because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. See how many times it says that in the section? That the great thing that happened here was the people understood the word of God. How about us, you know? Why wouldn't we want to be able to help people understand the word of God? And look at the results here. They wept, they cried, there was joy, there was mirth. They were like, oh my God, I didn't know this. I didn't understand this. How many people today need us to share with them an understanding of the word of God so they too can have joy, weep, and have whatever they need to do to get to the point where they understand the truth? Why not spend time being a master of the word? And I said it a bit facetiously in the sense that no one ever really becomes a master of the word, but it's something we strive for. You know, no one's ever going to know everything about the word of God. But boy, why not that be a goal, you know, in our lives? Look at Luke chapter 24. The impact of understanding the word of God hasn't changed since the days of Nehemiah. Anybody who has a hunger and thirst for the word of for life and the things of life and to know God will have the same reaction to the word of God when they understand it. Luke 24 is a wonderful record about the appearance of Jesus Christ after he was raised from the dead. And let's go down to verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. This is talking about the resurrection and all the things surrounding it. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So he starts walking with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So they didn't recognize him, but he's walking with them. This is a very humorous record here. I always find it a bit funny. And he said unto them, well, what are you guys talking about? What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are said? And you know darn well that he knows exactly what they're talking about. And he knows what's going on. But he's kind of coming up to them saying, well, what are you guys talking about? Verse 18. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the thing which are come to pass here in these days? Don't you know what happened? And he said unto them, what things? I find that humorous. And they said unto him, well, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. I can just almost see Jesus smiling. But we trusted that it had been he which should have saved and redeemed Israel. And beside all this day, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found his body, they came saying, look, that they had also seen a vision of angels which said he was alive. These, you know, they saw that and they said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. So we checked it out. Yeah, and it was just like they said. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. In other words, don't you know the word of God said this was going to happen? Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And look what he does. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So what did he do in order to show these two gentlemen that what happened was true? He didn't say, look, here I am. I'm Jesus Christ. Don't you? He said, no. He opened the scriptures and said, look what the word of God says about the coming Messiah. Jesus Christ opened the word of God to them. Now, I often read the scripture and say, gee, you know, if I had the opportunity to speak to a stranger who asked me about Jesus Christ, would I be able to start in Moses and go through all the prophets and show them, as much as I understand, of the things that are concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? Good question. Would we be able to do that? And they drew nigh, verse 28, unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. They still don't know who he is, by the way. to this point. You'd think he would have said, "Here I am, look at me, I'm alive." But he didn't. He taught them the word. You see how important knowing God's word and giving the sense of it and explaining it is to people? But they constrained him, verse 29, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. All of a sudden, they knew who he was. And he vanished out of their sight. As soon as they knew who he was, he's gone. And look what they say. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us when we finally realized who he was?" That's not what it says. "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Sounds just like Nehemiah, doesn't it? When the word of God had been made known, they cried, they had joy, they were thankful, they understood it. And here these gentlemen, look, our hearts burned. And when you tell somebody about Jesus Christ, that God raised him from the dead for them, that they became righteous, that they have eternal life, and that they're going to be saved from the wrath, and the list goes on and on and on. You know, if a person is hungry and thirsting, their heart's going to burn. They might cry, they might have joy, whatever the reaction. People need God's word, and God needs people who know his word to explain his word. And they rose up the same hour, verse 33, and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So now they go back to the 11, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done. Now they explain, this guy came to us, we're talking to him, you know, we're talking, we didn't know he was, and he told us all this wonderful stuff, and then he said it was Jesus and so forth. They told him what things were done the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. When he finally broke, we knew he was, and he disappeared. You can see them all excited. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Here he is again. And said unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Look, have you got anything to eat? Have you here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "Look, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." So when you read that verse, you can immediately say, you know what? I could probably go back to the books of Moses, and I can go back to the prophets, and I can go back to the Psalms, and I can probably find a lot of things about Jesus Christ. That's what I read that verse and I go, wow, do I know all the things that are written in there? Would I be able to do this? You see, how to become a master of the Word of God, it takes effort and diligence. It takes a desire to know it. It's an amazing, amazing work. I mean, the more you study it, the more depth you recognize that it has. Verse 45, look what it does again. Then, again, opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, just like the times of Nehemiah. And here's the Lord himself. Look, let me show you the scriptures. Let me show you what it says. And said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And led them out as Bethany and so forth. And they got blessed, and they were continually in the temple blessing and praising God. You see how he taught them God's word. Jesus Christ was obviously a master of the word. If you remember when he was confronted in Luke chapter 4 by the devil himself, what did Jesus Christ resort to? He's a resort to what he knew from the scriptures to fend off the devil himself, the adversary. He resorted to the script. He knew the scriptures. He understood it. And here he opened their understanding so they too might understand the scriptures. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. These are challenging verses for us to consider. Here's another one in Acts chapter 8. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord, this is after Philip had just blessed and seen great miracles and wonders in Samaria. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. So this gentleman is reading from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord, Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran, immediately listened to what God told him to do, thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto, Understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him, but Philip had no idea what the scripture said, so he couldn't help. No, that's not what the verse says. And then the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Now Isaiah 53, right? In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from him, from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. He knew exactly where to go and what that section Isaiah was talking about. And beginning at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You see, Philip was able to take this man who needed to understand the word of God. And Philip himself knew what the scriptures were talking about. He had spent some time understanding them. That he was able to go to this man and teach him from the scriptures concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus Christ did to those gentlemen. Just like Nehemiah and those gentlemen had given, or Ezra had given understanding to those people from the word of God. Look at Acts 17. So the eunuch got really blessed and was thankful and went away rejoicing because he heard the word of God. Acts 17. I find these very encouraging for our lives. Why wouldn't we want to spend the time? You know, do we know if someone wants to come to us and say, well, what does the Bible say about Jesus Christ? Well, why is Jesus Christ important? Would I know where to go to in God's word to show him that? What if they were to say, well, what happens after you die? Where would I go to in the word of God to show him that? Is Jesus Christ God or is he not? Where would I go in the word of God to show him? What is this baptism stuff? Do we need to get baptized? What is propitiation of sins? What does payment for sins mean? Do I know how to go to God's word to answer these questions? You know, I'm having problems in my marriage. How can you help me? Do I know where to go in God's word? You know, my son is suicidal. My daughter is suicidal. What can you do? Do I know what to show them from God's word? Right. You know, I mentioned that gentleman on the news there saying, if you want answers to problems in life, go to the Bible. Well, there you go. Where in the Bible do you go to get the specific answers for the needs in life that you may have or that somebody else might have? Well, it would seem that it would be very important for us to spend time learning to become masters of God's word. At least, you know, it's a lifetime job, really. In Acts 17, verse 1. Now, when this is Paul and company, when they come to Thessalonica. Now when they had passed through Pamphylus and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There was a synagogue, where was the synagogue of the Jews? And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So three Sabbaths in a row, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. That sounds exactly like what Jesus Christ said, isn't it? On Luke 24. It behooved Christ to suffer and to be raised. See, they knew the word of God. Must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. He's teaching them exactly what Jesus Christ taught those men. Because, you know, Paul didn't really have at his disposal the New Testament. Yeah, did he? He knew he had the Old Testament. And when he went to the synagogues, all he had to work with was the Old Testament. He was in the process of writing some of the church epistles God was showing him to write, but he had the scriptures. And here he is. He reasoned with them, taught them about Jesus Christ. Well, what happens if you speak to a Jewish person? Wouldn't it be a blessing to know what the Old Testament says about the coming of Jesus Christ and be able to go there and say, look, here's what the Word of God says in Acts 26. Acts 26. Become masters of the Word of God. Well, you know, I always think about it as, I always think of Noah. God told Noah to do one thing, and he ended up having a job for 120 years. You know, so here we are, masters of the Word. Well, at least you have a lifetime profession. That's something that you'll work at for your whole life. And Acts 26, verse 8. Why should it be, this is Paul before Agrippa, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. Where am I? Lost my place. Jesus of Nazareth. Thanks. First thing I also did in Jerusalem, verse 10, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. You know, so he was pretty much causing a lot of havoc in the church. But then, you know, he was witnessed to by Jesus Christ. Now I'll go down to verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue on to this day, witnessing both to small and great. So he came from what he used to do, which was causing great havoc, to the point where he started witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. He goes, I've been doing nothing, King Agrippa, except just telling people exactly what the prophets and Moses, isn't that what the same thing we read before? Isn't that what Jesus Christ had talked about? He talked out of the prophets, the Psalms, and the law of Moses. And this is Paul saying, look, I'm just teaching what the Word of God says. That's all. Verse 23, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from dead. You know what? Teaching people God's Word, the simplicity of it, well, this Messiah was sent by God, and he was supposed to suffer for us, and then God raised him from the dead for your sake. It's a simple message. And as Paul says, that's all I've been doing my whole life from the time that I got witness to today. That's all I've been doing. Should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Acts 28. You know, Paul was certainly a master of the Word of God. He had studied under the Gamaliel with the great teacher, of Israelite teacher in Jerusalem. He had learned that. He knew the scriptures. And yet, even though he knew the scriptures, yet he was condemning Christians because he didn't really understand that part of it until Jesus Christ opened his eyes. But as soon as he knew, he said, oh my goodness, right at it. He started preaching immediately. And now he says at near the end of his life, I've done nothing but what I was told to do my whole life. What a great way to live your life. Just do what God has told you to do. Teach his word to any opportunity, any place you get, any mall, in line, waiting in line at the bank, and on an airplane, doesn't matter. Just make known the gospel. But in order to make it known, we got to know it. We got to be able to answer people's questions. You know, it says in Peter, always be ready to give an answer. The hope that lieth in you with meekness and fear. You should know. We should know why we believe what we believe and where we believe it from. We shouldn't rely on someone else to tell us what we believe. That's been the way of Christianity for 1,000 years, where people rely on those teachers to teach them what they should believe. Well, that's not the way of the Word of God. You ought to know what the Word of God says, and you ought to know where it says it, right? In Acts 28, verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, this is Paul in Rome now, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. out of the law of Moses, out of the prophets. And by this time, he had written Corinthians and Ephesians, and he had not Ephesians yet, he had written Corinthians and Thessalonians and Romans and Galatians, most likely. And later, after this time, he writes the other epistles. But yet, when he's talking to these people, their background was the Old Testament law. He preached to them out of the law of Moses and other prophets from morning till evening. You got to know a little bit of the truth if you're going to be able to pull that one off, right? Masters of God's Word. Why wouldn't we spend the time to learn God's Word so we can teach people? And I don't know of anything better to help anybody in any situation they're involved in except the Word of God. I just don't. Right? So if I want to help people, well, I don't know what the Word of God says. 2 Timothy, almost done. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Got to read these few verses here. You know this verse. We're going to read it together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, and really, that's really what it takes. It takes time and effort to study. If I want to stand, and that's the great thing about the teaching God's word is, you don't stand approved before any man. I really don't care what anybody thinks. Like, if I'm off God's word, I want someone to tell me. I do care what God thinks. If I share something here or you share something that isn't accurate, you know, I know we're all most like we're blessed to know when someone tells us. But we do our best to study because it says here, we stand approved before God. What you say when you're sharing God's word, you stand approved before God. That's a pretty high call. Do we know of a greater authority than God? No. You know, it says we stand approved before God of what we do and how we work God's word. And then closing in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the last part. This is Paul's exhortation to Timothy in the times when the church was in its decline or having great difficulty. The great thing Paul leaves Timothy with in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3. But Timothy, you know, despite all this nonsense and garbage happening out there, he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. And if he's talking about to Timothy about from a child he has known the scriptures, then he's also talking about the Old Testament, because when he met Timothy in Iconium, Timothy had been taught the scriptures by his parents, his family, his mother and his grandmother. So he had known the scriptures from a child. So Paul told him, you stick to the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You, Timothy, stick to this, spend your time on the script. Another place he tells him to give attendance to reading. Reading what? The magazines and periodicals and blogs of our day? No, the scriptures. Reading the scriptures. How are you going to know the scriptures without reading them? You can't. There's no way. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Good reason to read it, because it's given, it's God-breathed. It's given by God himself, and it's profitable. All of it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. All these areas, all these things, what to believe, what to, if we're off the Word of God, how to get back to it. All these things that the Word of God is profitable for is given by God. Why? Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That you're ready. And then that, you know the Greek, some of the Greek in these verses. What it really means, simply put, is that you're ready to handle any situation. That you're ready for any eventuality. That you know what to do. You know what Word of God to think. You know what Word of God to share. You know what Word of God to make known to people. You know what Word of God you need yourself. And we know how to walk with God, how he can talk to us, and we can talk to him and get prayers answered. And all the things that basically are the essentials and simplicity of life as a believer. It's all in the Word of God. Everything that pertains to life and our relationship with him is in the Word of God. But how am I going to know it if I don't spend the time and discipline to look at it regularly and consistently you know, and strive to be a master of the Word of God, just like those men in, you know, in Ezra's men, the men that accompanied Ezra, or Jesus Christ himself. There's a good goal. He knew a little bit about the Scripture. Paul the Apostle, or Philip, or all the other people in the Word of God that are talked about. And if I want to spend time on something, we do know that the Word of God itself says that, if I spend my time in learning God's Word and godliness, not only does it profit me, which I, think about this verse, not only does it profit me today, but also profits me in the life to come. Think about that one. You actually can do something today that benefits you today and also in the life to come. Now, there's a good investment to make. So, masters of God's Word, well, it's a good challenge and something that will keep us employed for the rest of our days. Job security. God bless.